Hey everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rollison. In addition to this podcast, you can see me on the pages of PiratesBreakdown.com and in the pages of Pirates Guide 18, which was our joint effort to put together a Pirates 2018 season preview book. We've got guys from ThePointOfPittsburgh.com on here, as well as guys from RumBunter.com and some other young names in the industry that you might know and love, like Josh Taylor from 93.7 The Fan and Chris Mack, also 93.7TheFan.com. and on the radio. So please search for Pirates Guide 2018 on the Amazon store. You can find it in Kindle and in paperback. Anyway, I also have with me the second voice of Locked On Pirates, and that's Alex Stumpf. Alex, say hello.
Hello.
Hello. And where can people find you, Alex, by the way?
Oh, they can find me everywhere. You can find me on Locked On Pirates, obviously. This is coming up, I guess, or being posted Thursday, so I guess tomorrow or Friday, whichever way you prefer, you're going to finally see my introductory posts there. It's been long overdue. Point of Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Sports Report, Sporting News, basically anywhere that has baseball, it feels like anymore.
Well, that's cool because a lot of places have baseball, and one of the places that has baseball, at least for now and in the foreseeable future, is Tampa Bay. And that's why I wanted to kind of jump on here and talk about something unique and interesting that the Tampa Bay Rays are doing that we wanted to bat around and see if it might benefit the Pirates. And what that is a four-man rotation. Rays manager Kevin Cash today told assembled reporters that the plan for his club is to go with a four-man rotation at the beginning of the year, at the very least, in April, or technically March/April, the last couple of days of March. The club, as along with many other major league clubs, have quite a lot of off days. So what Cash is going to do is have a four-set starters, and then the fifth day is going to be a bullpen day, but the way he's going to approach it is have two or three bullpen guys go through the order once and then see where he's at. So today on LockedOnPirates.com, I just kind of did a light glimpse of what this might look like for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Alex, like he said, is going to have, he may not have said this, maybe I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but he is going to write extensively about this at ThePointOfPittsburgh.com. So by the time you hear this, please check it out. And Alex, what's your initial thoughts when you heard this and how it might correlate to the Pirates?
Well, I like it. I think especially the Pirates, because all year ever since Gerrit Cole was traded, we've heard four names constantly thrown out as, the real starters or the real core of that rotation. And that's Taillon, that's Cole, Williams, and Nova. And then you can make a case for either Musgrove, or if you believe in upside, Tyler Glasnow, or if you believe in the results of last year, Stephen Brault being the number five starter. I think they might be better off just going with the four. It won't happen, but if we're going to live in crazy hypotheticals, the number four or four-man rotation, I think, lends itself to shorter trips out every inning, avoid that dreaded third time through the lineup, and maybe it create another roster spot.
And how is that exactly? Because when I first started trying to wrap my mind around this, I kept thinking to myself, gee, we kind of know that the Pirates pitching staff is pretty much set depending on just a couple, and I mean a couple of decisions, Glasnow versus Segrist, that kind of thing. So how could this create another position? You want to go in depth on that a little bit? Another position spot for somebody?
Well, as you mentioned, there are more off days this year than there were last year, four extra off days. And that's really going to benefit the Pirates more than probably a lot of other teams, because last year the Pirates had eight stretches of 11 or more games played in a row. Hmm. This year they have four, so it's effectively been cut in half. And especially in the first 2 months, they have a lot more off days than they did last year. Last year they had one day off in May. This year I think it's three or four. So through the first 54 games this season, the Pirates could have a four-man rotation, and with all those off days, treat it as a five-man rotation. Basically, everyone goes on full rest fairly normally. Out of those first 54 games, there are seven times where if they did have a four-man rotation, they would have a guy who would either have to go on full rest or short rest, bullpen start, or you have to call up a guy from AAA. Seven out of 54, 47 times, you're basically training seven Joe Musgrove starts for 47 days where you could have another reliever in the bullpen or another bat on the bench. I think it's kind of throwing away a roster spot for someone who's only got to play 1/8 of the time.
So you know, really, when you really think about it, you're not really creating roster spots. You're just better utilizing the spots
you're redistributing. Right. You're better utilizing your yes.
Okay, I can kind of get there with you, but my point is, listen. I mean, Neil Huntington has done a lot of lip service to say that the club is going to compete, and I think like you, think that the Pirates, as presently constructed, can win 82, 83, maybe more games if things break exactly right. So, not to get into the whole tanking debate, but is that actually is implementing something like this in a year when you are not expected to contend? I mean, seriously, let's all be real. Is that the right way to go when you're trying to develop these arms? And let's look at facts. The guys we're talking about who would do this are chiefly Stephen Brault, Joe Musgrove. And they're, at this point, even with Brault, I would say they're capable major leaguers. So then it's not necessarily that they need the innings to develop, but are you sacrificing any developmental time, excuse me, in doing this, even with your bullpen arms? And I'm just wondering about it. I'm struggling with that. Does that cross your mind at all when you're being a proponent of this?
I think they're already, you know, keeping some bull or some potential rotation arms, you know, in limbo right now because they just have so many quality young guys. I mean, Stephen Brault, make it a six-man rotation, and he might still be on the outside looking in. I think they have to find a new creative way to try to use all these arms. I think the plan going, or right now at least it was going into camp, was, you know, Glasnow be pitching out of the bullpen, get that apprenticeship, a position that Trevor Williams had last year, and if something comes up, okay, he goes in then, just to get him, you know, major league at-bats or batter's face. But it's there's a lot of young talent right now, and I actually have a crazy suggestion that I put into the point of Pittsburgh where everyone gets kind of a start. Nobody gets exactly what they want, but everybody gets at least a little. About or you go first.
I was going to say that's a wonderful dream. That is a beautiful vision of a pitching utopia that I, for one, would love to see. But I think with Clint Hurdle still being holding on to a little bit of that old school mentality, I'm wondering if he'd go for it. I also wonder if Neil Huntington, who, you know, in my opinion, gets some of the praise of being a forward-thinking GM, but in many ways is very risk-averse, this would represent maybe something a little out of his comfort zone as far as constructing a team, as far as assigning roles, that kind of thing. And, you know, we kind of saw that the front office wanted to do a little bit of bullpenning last year but could not commit to it. So that weighs in my mind as well. And at the end of the day, I just think it's a little too out of bounds for the Pirates, and I want you to tell me that I'm wrong.
No, I agree. It's not going to happen. I even say it in the point of Pittsburgh. My lead is I have a stupid idea, and I've got a couple stupid suggestions on how we can implement this stupid idea. It's not going to happen. As much as I would like to see the ideas that I throw out there, you know, perhaps being thrown into practice, especially if the Pirates, they need to be the smartest eggs in the room, the smart kid in the room, if they're going to compete this year, as the Rays do. I mean, the Rays, everyone says they're tanking. I think I kind of see what they're doing, and Pecota, I think, has them currently as the second wild card. So I'm not buying that, you know, this is a 100-loss team, even with all these crazy moves that don't really make a lot of sense on paper. I don't buy that they're tanking, and I think that's why they're experimenting with the four-man rotation. I think the Pirates are in the same boat. Maybe they should do the same, even though it won't happen.
It's always good when you spend time laying out an argument preceded by saying, listen, this won't happen, but...
You can't be wrong. You can't be wrong then. You could just sound like a genius.
Pretty damn foolproof, huh?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. While we're on the subject, we weren't really going to talk about him specifically, but one of the pitchers who this directly affect is Tyler Glasnow, who, hey boy, struggled a lot today as well. It is spring training, and you know what I kind of have come to realize lately is that spring training does matter for some people, and I think Tyler Glasnow is one of them. Pulling up the box score from today right now, I'm going to look through my fingers as I hide my face. But it wasn't pretty again for Glasnow. 2.2 innings pitched, 6 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them earned. Back to walking, had three walks in 6 innings, 1 home run given, 5 strikeouts. Alex, what's going on? Does this portend more struggle for him? Does it send the Pirates back to the drawing board? Does it clinch their plans for him? Because he did have a couple of interesting outings in spring training the past couple times out.
Is anyone surprised at this point? I mean, I think that's very sobering, depressing, perhaps a tad nihilistic, but is anyone really surprised that he got shelled in spring training again? I mean, he was shelled all of spring training last year, and then he carried that over to being shelled in the regular season. I haven't had a lot of chance to watch a lot of Tyler, pitch. Like I said, I wasn't able to go down to spring training this year, but man, I don't have a lot of confidence in the kid. I hope that the bullpen role, he takes to that, just being able to throw two pitches, but I don't see how anyone should really be surprised that he got hit in a spring training start right now. I think we're at that point of Tyler Glasnow's career.
It becomes an existential argument. I mean, is potential realized in a different manner than you thought it would be, just as sweet? Or is it, at this point, it's face facts. This is a baseball club that you have to put together. You put a lot of time and developmental energy into this player. Do you want to get something for him? It becomes a philosophical debate, and I don't know where I stand. I don't know where I land on that. And therefore, I find myself that maybe I need more time. Maybe I would need more time to see what he can do and see, what he can salvage as a starting pitcher. And it's not – is that any way to think about a former number one prospect?
I think yours is the optimistic way of looking at a former number one prospect. Right now, I think that's the best case scenario, what you just laid out for him. It's like, okay – I still see him. He was a number one prospect for a reason. Maybe he'll put things together as a starting pitcher, or at the very worst, a bullpen arm. But right now, I mean, you can't take spring training starts, I guess, too seriously, because maybe he just wanted to experiment on some things and they were bad experiments and he took that away from it. But right now, I don't think there's a lot of faith around Tyler Glasnow with anyone right now. What you laid out of he was once a number one draft pick. Let's keep our fingers crossed, eyes, being covered through our hands, peeking out. Maybe something will work out, but I'm starting to doubt that Tyler Glasnow will ever be the guy that the Pittsburgh Pirates hoped he would be, or at least that guy for the Pirates. I think he might have gone as far.
Yeah, it's strange because you want to be disappointed, but at the end of the day, I realized that he was a sixth-round pick, not to correct you there, but he worked himself into the number one prospect.
Yes.
Yeah, number one pitching prospect for the Pirates, number one overall for 1 year at least. So it's like, okay, yes, the Pirates get a lot of criticism for drafting badly, which may or may not be debunked in Pirates Guide, plug. But they took a sixth-round pick and turned him into a number one prospect. That's pretty good work to that point.
Yeah.
And so, take what you will with him and maybe just leave it at that. So what I wanted to say right now is to the business owners out there listening or the decision makers for a business, the time is ripe to advertise on Locked On Pirates. As we said at the top, Locked On Pirates is a daily podcast focusing on the Pittsburgh Pirates. So any kind of Pittsburgh business will really benefit from the ROI that you will get from having a daily show that features your name as a branding sponsor, get into a lot of ears, really translate into a lot of call to actions. So if you're interested, we have very good rates and I can put you in touch with the people that will handle all that for you. Just email me at lockedonpirates@gmail.com and we'll make it happen. So moving on from that discussion for now, I'm sure we'll revisit it as the season draws near perhaps. But what I want to talk about now, Alex, is that as you mentioned at the top, you're making your writing debut for lockedonpirates.com. And why don't you give the people what they want, what they crave? And that is a teaser. Why don't you do that for the people?
Yeah, well, I am a man of the people. I got to do what the people want.
Gotcha.
Keep it very brief. It's on four-seamers and the Pirates hitting them. And for 2013 through 2016, they were one of the best in baseball doing that. 2014, they actually were the best team in baseball in hitting four-seamers. Last year, they were 29th out of 30 clubs. what the heck happened? That's what I'm exploring, and I'm going to be zeroing in on one player in particular.
Okay, you want to give the people any kind of teaser that? Do you want to leave something mysterious?
Oh, I want to leave it. I want to leave it mostly mysterious, but that's what I got right now.
Okay, I'm anxious to hear it because the first thing that popped in my head when you told me the premise was that, you know, famously, Andrew McCutchen could never get a fastball to hit, and when he did damage. So I'm kind of curious to see what the rest of the team looks like historically and last year, just so we can see what we should expect without McCutchen, because he was a big culprit of, you know, sitting on a fastball, waiting on a fastball, and trying to do some damage with it. So I think this will be interesting.
Yeah, he definitely was, you know, one of the best fastball hitters and on the team. And it's no surprise, short part of the story, that the Pirates have become a progressively worse and worse fastball hitting club. Is some of the other best fastball hitters we had were Jung Ho Kang. He's obviously not in a Pirate uniform anymore. Sean Rodriguez in 2016 was one of the best on the team. He played with one shoulder last year.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Joyce was another guy who just absolutely crushed fastballs, left the team. Other ones throughout history, Marlon Byrd, Russell Martin. There's a lot. There's an explanation, a very simple one, on why the Pirates aren't as good a four-seam hitting club as they used to be. And that's because, well, you know, they lost a lot of great fastball hitters. But this team still has a lot of guys who should be good fastball hitters. And that's what's making it intriguing for me.
Okay, and we're going to look forward to that on Friday on LockedOnPirates.com. So please check back then. And if you want to make sure you don't miss the link, I would suggest following us at LockedOnPirates. Where can they follow you on Twitter, Alex?
At Alex, the letter J, Stumpf, STUMPF.
All right, and the best way to follow Locked On Pirates, the podcast component, would be to subscribe in iTunes and now in Google Play. So please, your podcast app of choice, whatever searches the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store, you'll be able to find us. Just search for Locked On Pirates and please give us a review. That would really help us a lot, and tell a friend. So for now, this is Jason speaking for Alex. We say goodbye. We'll talk to you next time.